No. I've told you that God is a stalker. When you're asleep, he's singing over you. Johnny, when you're asleep, he's singing over you.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, and he's singing in Spanish over you.
Really?
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know that scripture that says he knows the number of hairs on your head? Look, let me tell you something. I love my family and I love my wife, but I ain't counting how many hairs she's got on her head. Is that fair? I mean, you love people, right? But you ain't gonna take the time, right? If he cares about that, how much more does he care about your piddly stuff? The stuff that is a big deal to you. Here he is. He knows when your hair falls out. He knows when it grows back. He knows when you're throwing a wig on your head. Do you hear what I'm saying? Anyway, that's got nothing to do with this message. I'm trying to kill time to see if my boys are up yet. No, not up yet? Okay. Well, then we'll just roll. We'll roll with the punches, man. Oh, you're saying a little bit? This is what I love about technology. Every demon that resides in the world lives in a sound system. Now, they come out at night and, you know, do their damage and, you know, torture us or whatever. But then when they rest, they reside in the technology side of the world. I'm still killing time. Let me tell you a joke. What's your favorite joke, Gay? Her jokes are just not funny, but just tell me what your favorite. In fact, one of your favorite jokes isn't politically correct anymore, so we can't even tell it. I'm not going to tell that joke. I'm not. I'm trying to think of a joke. Everything's not politically correct. I mean, I'm telling you, man, you can't say anything anymore without offending someone. You know, in the Bible, I'm just totally off point, but I don't care because I'm waiting for this video to work. In the Bible, this always was weird to me. When Jesus was talking about the last days, you know, wars, rumors of wars, I get all that. But then he said, and in the last days, they will be offended. And that just, I'm like, well, whatever. Holy smoke. If we're not in the last days, where are we? I read an article in the newspaper, true story, and this just blows me away. There was this liberal arts college, and it's a smaller college, but it's a good college, and they were going to have this gathering for you know, diversity and all this kind of stuff, and they shut it down because they found a banana peel in a tree. And so, therefore, they knew that somebody was making fun of the black community, African-American community, however I'm supposed to say it now. It come to find out, this kid, who happened to be a black dude, by the way, ate a banana, and he didn't want to throw it on the grounds, so he threw it up in the tree. And they shut this whole thing down because they didn't want this offense to happen. Man, we believers, this whole thing I'm talking about, by the way, today I'm going to talk about, this is Christmas time, and Jesus is the light of the world. And what you need to understand is, even in the dictionary, the word darkness literally means the absence of light. So here's what really bugs me, because this is so simple to me. When people say, how can God allow that? Stop. God is light. It's the absence of light. Darkness has no value. Darkness has no substance. You hear me? So it's the absence of light. And then Jesus tells us to be the light. So if anybody's going to have to take on this whole responsibility, it might be us. You know, we had a staff party over at my house the other night, and I was sharing with them. We were in there having a great time, and there was this humongous, tremendous light that was just burning in the home. And we've got to take that into those areas where there's absence of light. And that's why the world was absent of light until Jesus came in. If y'all don't have it, I'm going to keep going. You have it now? No? Don't worry about it. We'll show it at the end. We'll show it at the end. Maybe. So, I wanted to say all that. You can show my scriptures, right? Can you show my scriptures or no? You can't show anything. Okay, cool. I'm going to go old school. Here's what I want to share with you. This is out of Genesis chapter 1. Y'all might know this scripture. because all of you who have started reading the Bible and you never made it through, hold up, including me. Just so you know, people are like, man, I read the Bible through in a year. Well, good for you. I never have, because I'm being very honest. When I get to the begats, I'm done. You know, Jehoshaphat, begat, behoo, 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 begat, behi, behi. And I'm like, whatever, I don't care. So hear what I'm saying. So I'm, as your pastor and friend, I'm admitting that I've never read the entire Bible completely through. So there, I've just confessed it. But you have read this part, because here we go. In the beginning, God, you all got that. Y'all started there. You might not have got to chapter 2, but you started there, right? Okay. In the beginning, this is the first time baseball's ever spoken of right here. In the beginning. In the beginning, you'll get there. In the beginning, man, I'm on a roll today, and I haven't done any drugs, just so you know. I'm not drunk as you suppose, but this is that the prophet Joel said, I will pour out my spirit among, okay. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, first thing he said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that light was good. Then watch this. Then he separated the light from the darkness. Now here's what I want you to see. I want you to notice God did not create darkness. God created light. It simply already existed. And let me explain this too. He created light. The sun wasn't created for 3 more days. You hear what I'm saying? So he created the light of hope, the light of goodness, the light of holiness, the light of purity. And that light shined brightly until sin switched it off in the garden. We love to blame Adam and Eve, but that's where it happened. And after this sin in the garden, darkness invaded the heart of man because the light of righteousness had been switched off. Okay? So then you go through the history of mankind. Let's start with the murder of Abel, then the wickedness that caused the flood that Noah had to build the ark for, and then King David doing his thing on the rooftop and total sinning and killing a guy and all this kind of stuff. Peter denying Christ, Jesus crucified, Saul, who turned into the Apostle Paul, holding the coats of those who stoned Stephen. As Stephen was being stoned, Saul, at the time the name was Saul, held the coats while they killed Stephen. Then you can go fast forward to the Crusades. You can go to Hitler. You can go to 9/11. You can go to today with mass killings and running hatred. And this is what darkness is. In fact, Isaiah prophesied how wonderful we are. I've told you a million times, and it's true. Half of the gospel, half of the euangelion, half of the good news of Jesus, half of it is how bad we are. Because until we recognize how bad we are, we will never see the need of a Savior that is perfect. Because we'll somehow feel like we can become perfect. You can never become perfect. He's already perfect for you. Exactly. Stay in Him, and you're going to have a great life. Out of Him, you're going to be miserable trying to do your own thing. And yes, it is, you know, people say, well, what about where it says faith without works is dead? It's a different job. It's a different job than the law. The law is a different work. The law is blue collar. You know what I'm saying? The law, you work hard, you sweat, you try to get it done, you try to get it done. Then you get to go into the next level of works, and that is the works of love and joy and peace and the things that the Holy Spirit grows in us. It's not that. See, we're not even responsible for our work. He is. We're responsible to let it out. And by the way, just so you know, we're not, I'll get there. I'm going to stay right here, maybe. So, Isaiah prophesied how great we are right here. Oh, they got scripture up. Can you do the next one? Awesome. Here's what he said about us mankind. So there is no justice among us, and we know nothing about right living. Can you admit that? See, because if you can't admit that, you can't quit that. What do you mean if I can't admit it, I can't quit it? You'll never quit it because you won't admit it. Man, once you admit it and understand that He took care of it, then you walk in Him, and when you start believing right, you start living right. It's just true. I'm a living example of that. And the truth is, you know, you can always know the truth about someone if you ask their spouse. Right? You know, like somebody says, man, you're a good guy, and you're like, well, thanks. Don't talk to my wife. You know, or whatever. you can ask my wife if her life hasn't been better for the last 15 years because of I finally got the epiphany that it's not about me, it's about him. And that really is true. And that's not saying there's... I am perfectly trying to follow in Jesus. Like my daughter said when years ago, my little Leah, she looked at Charity because Charity was the oldest and she's the boss, and you know how that works. And she looked at... Charity was just telling Leah how to carry the cabbage, how she should do this and do this. And Leah looked at her and goes, "You think you're perfect." And Charity looks down at her with this smug look on her face and goes, "I am Leah. I make perfect mistakes." She got her perfection from her dad. Because I do. Watch this. So there's no justice among us, and we know nothing about right living. We look for light but find only darkness. We look for bright skies but walk in gloom. Are you there, folks? We grope like the blind along a wall, feeling our way like people without eyes. Why? Because it's very dark. Even at the brightest noontime, we stumble as though it were dark. We're among the living, but we are like the zombies. We are like the dead. So what does this mean, man? It sure seems like we don't have any hope, doesn't it? See, but we need to absorb that, because once we finally understand that our righteousness is as filthy as rags, then we can understand the whole purpose of why Christ came. And he came as a baby, which is what Christmas time is all about. But there's a purpose in him coming, and there's a purpose in him saying, "I didn't come to demolish the law, I came to fulfill it." And then he immediately started talking about, he started making it harder to do. I didn't come to abolish the law because it's perfect, it's holy and good. The one that is not perfect and holy and good is you and me. The law is perfect. The law has never sinned, ever. Ever. But Jesus said, "I didn't come to abolish it, I came to fulfill it." And then he starts telling it, making it harder so that we could recognize we cannot do this. We need someone to save us. And that's why he came. So, there was hope after that. Isaiah actually wrote this right here too, because he knew 700 years before Jesus came. Look at this. "Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles," 700 years prior, "which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory, and the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine." Love that, don't you? And that light did come, and here's the scripture that we all know, but I want you to see it in a new light today. How's that for a great pun? "In the beginning," John 1, "the Word already existed." Some of you are used to hearing, "In the beginning, the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God with God." This is the NIV, the NLT version, which is more clear and perfectly on spot on with the Greek language. "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed," this is talking about Jesus, obviously, "He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through Him. And nothing was created except through Him. And the Word gave life to everything that was created. And His life brought light to everyone. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness can never extinguish it." I showed you a couple weeks ago when everybody was freaking out, some kind of terror or something. I told you, everybody make a cup of your hand and get it as dark as you can inside. Remember when I did that? And then I said, "All right, ready? On the count of three, we're gonna throw it out. Ready? One, two, three." And that darkness cannot dispel light at all. But you can go into Carlsbad Caverns and they'll shut the lights off and you can't see your hands. But when I was a drug addict back in the day and a rebellious, I had a lighter. I had an old school lighter with a little flint on it, you know, a little Zippo lighter that you flopped open. In fact, I could do it with my hand. Like, so cool. So stupid, but so cool. You could turn just a little bit of light on, and it maybe not see very far, but it dispels, doesn't it? So God sent this man, John the Baptist, to tell about this light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. Talking about because of John's testimony. And John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. But the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And he came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. And he came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Wow. I got more, right? And they are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became flesh, as most of us know it. So the Word became human and dwelt, skenoa, among us. And he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Amen. That word that's for dwelt literally means the word tabernacled. So it's saying, I touched on this a week ago. I did a whole sermon on the prayer shawl, but I want to use that today concerning this whole tabernacling thing. You see, what happened was in the Old Testament, it was all prophesied that God was coming. When it got to the New Testament, the verb changed from was to is. God was here, they would say in the Old Testament. Example. Remember Joshua? Moses had already died. They mourned his death for 30 days. God told Joshua, it's time for you to stand up and become the warrior that I've created you to be. And so he was going to cross over the Red Sea. And you remember when Moses did it? Well, when Joshua did it, the guys went out there and they took the Ark of the Covenant. Y'all know what the Ark is. And they walked out there until all the people got by. And then they walked on in. Then they had one guy from every tribe, 12 tribes, go get a big old rock and place it. Then they built this altar. Again, as it is proclaimed to be there forever and ever, so that people would understand through the centuries that God was there. You get me? So then you move into the New Testament and this light that has come into the world, and he was made flesh and dwelt among us. That is not this like, okay, skippity-doo-dah. He was here, but he said he came to tabernacle with us. Now, I want to explain that tabernacle just a little bit so you understand where we are in the New Testament. I have this. Now, just so you know, if y'all were here about 2 months ago, I did a whole sermon on this, except for I had a messianic prayer shawl. When I say messianic, that simply means someone who believes, a Jewish person who believes that Jesus is the Messiah, therefore they're a messianic Jew. All right, just so you know, if you've ever heard that term, now you know what it means. Woohoo. Take it with you and go have coffee. So I wanted a tallit, which is the Hebrew word for the Old Testament version of the prayer shawl, which is what they wore in the Old Testament time, and to this day they wear these. They do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah, but they do believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is our God. So here was my thought pattern. What I did was I got online and found this in Israel, because I'm thinking I want it there. I could have bought a new one, but I wanted a used one. I haven't put it on yet, so just be careful. So this is a used one, a used prayer shawl, a tallit from Israel. This is what they really, the messianic ones are smaller. God instructed Israel to put, well, let's back up. Let me help you here. There's a word in the Old Testament in Hebrew called kanap. and it means wings. For instance, when you see where God spread his eagle's wings, that word kanaf is there. But it also means hem, H-E-M, like the hem of a garment. And in Scripture, in fact, I think I even wrote this down. I didn't give you guys this Scripture. I think I wrote it down, though, because I actually had sent you my Scripture before I had finished digesting the message. Pom, 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 pom. Yes. In Numbers chapter 16, God says this. He says, "Give the following instructions to the people of Israel. Throughout the generations to come, you must make tassels for the hems," and the same word kanaf. You know, in the Old Testament, in Isaiah actually said it, where it says that he's coming and there will be healing in his wings. Okay, that's the word kanaf. But it's also the same word for the word hem. So God says, you must put these tassels, kanaf, on your clothing and attach them with a blue cord. So just so you see this, there is the blue cord. This is the tassel. It's got a Hebrew word. I don't remember what it is. I could look it up to look like I'm smart. But they're on the four corners. So now get this picture here. The kanaf means wings, and the kanaf means him. And get the picture of the woman that had the issue of blood. And she said to herself, if I could only touch the kanaf. And so Jesus is walking. And if it's raining, they would cover their head. And he's walking, and boom, who touched me? Well, the disciples were smart, and they're like we're going to know out of all these people? So that's what this is, but what I'm the whole point of me doing this today, that was just a side for you, is this. In the Old Testament, after these instructions were given, they carried him out and made the tallit, which is we call it the prayer shawl. Now, here's what's so good so that you understand. Jewish men wore the prayer shawl all the time, not just to prayer. They wore it at home. They wore it at work. If it rained, they would pull it up over their head. But here's what's so fun. The word talit, the word tall means tent, and leet means little. So it means tent little, but remember in Hebrew, you read it the other way, if you don't, you know now. So it means little tent. So they had these little tents, all right? But here's what would happen. There were 6 million. Remember the tabernacle. Remember this word says that he will come and tabernacle with you. Remember the tabernacle of God was they obviously built the tabernacle in the when they finally did the temple. But back when they were traveling in the wilderness, remember they had a portable one, and they would follow the cloud by day and the fire by night. Remember that? And they had this portable, and it had a big fence around it, but it was a big tent. In fact, it was called the tent of meeting. Not just the tabernacle, it was called the tent of meeting. And that's the only place that God would ever show up. And when he would show up, of course, it freaked most of the people out. It didn't freak Moses out too much, but it freaked most of the people out. But here's what I want you to understand. There were 6 million Jews. So they couldn't fit in the tent. So they had the tallit, the little tent. And here's what they would do. They would stand outside, and they would cover themselves, and they would fold their hands, and they would do Hebrew, speak Hebrew. I can't speak Hebrew, but they would just, whatever. They'd sing Hebrew songs. They had their own little prayer closet right here, man, wearing their, what we call the prayer shawl. But it's all they had until Jesus came. And here the light of the world came, and he says, oh, God was at the tent of meeting in the wilderness, and God was at the crossing when Joshua crossed over, but I'm here to tabernacle with you. I am God. Remember, I talked about this last week. This is God with us. But here's what so seems unfortunate about that. Don't you understand now why Jesus said, I've not only got to die and be resurrected, I got to get out of here so the Holy Spirit can come. Because that's who we tabernacle with. Yes, of course, Jesus. Jesus is in a human body. He never went back to the spirit, guys. He's in a human body. But he says, I got to go. There's such a weird scenario for me. When Jesus rose from the dead, he's the first human that ever knocked on heaven's door that they opened it for. Could you imagine? Bam, 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 bam. It's some dude. What do we do? Oh, no, he's done. But he said, I've got to go so that I can leave this advocate, this comforter, this lover of your soul, so that every day of your life you're going to recognize and understand. That is the light that is in us, is this God, Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. He's God. And he represents Jesus and God. And just pick whatever, however you want to do it. In our brains, it's hard to wrap around God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I just call it the God family. It's the God family. And when I get frustrated or whatever, I pray to God. Because now sometimes I'll say, Jesus, thank you for this. Holy Spirit, thanks for turning me. But when I'm desperate, I say God, because whichever one needs to show up will. If I'm walking down the street and it's me and Gay and Jake, if you say, Jake, he's going to turn around, I'm going to keep walking. If you say, Gay, she's going to turn around, I'm going to keep walking. If you say, Steve, you get it. But if you say, Van Zant, whoop, we all turn around. So you get desperate, your best prayer ever is, God help! You don't got to figure out which one, they'll all turn around. We make this so hocus pocus. Jesus rose from the dead. You know what the first thing he did? He went in through the room and freaked the guys out, and they were all in fear. And the Bible says that he walked over to them and he breathed the Holy Spirit into them. That's in the Greek language. If you go in the Hebrew language, it's the identical word. They just, from Hebrew to Greek, it's how it would be translated. It's the same word that was used when God breathed life into Adam. Jesus came to be the light of the world. And to tabernacle with us. And that's what he's doing. So everything was created through Jesus, including the light. Jesus didn't come to earth just to hang with people. He came to dispel darkness with his light. Listen, we love why Jesus came, but his sole purpose was to be light. His sole purpose was to be light and bring light and do light, die light and come back to light, and then for us to take that banner of light and walk on. And it's not about your light. Quit it. That's why we never witness to people. Because people are like, oh, you call yourself a Christian. Whatever. Yes, I do, and I'm not. Okay. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the light. We are the light of the world. If we're not going to be the light of the world, who's going to be the light? Are you ready for that video yet? You are? All right, we're going to show this video. Would you shut those lights off, Mike? And then I'll conclude. This might be where it was supposed to be shown.
At just the right moment, in the fullness of time, into a world of darkness came a light that would shine. An infant hope in a desperate hour, clothed in secrecy, void of power, hunted by a king, sought by the wise, heaven rejoiced, darkness despised, tempted, tested, human divine, yet through it all, the light would still shine. growing in stature, full of truth and grace. The light appears in the most unlikely place. Rejected by others, they felt the embrace. Dinner with a sinner, a rendezvous at night, in the midst of a storm with a boat full of fright. A man up a tree, a child on a knee, a captive set free. Broken and battered, wounded and shattered, fractured and tattered, their lives really did matter. Yes, through it all, the light would still shine. Threatened by change, exposed by acceptance, darkness attacks with lies and deception. Blasphemer, glutton, sinner, liar. As the enemy stoops lower, love stands higher, higher and deeper, longer and wider. Healer, friend, teacher, provider. Yes, through it all, the light would still shine. Religion unmasked, hypocrites taken to task. Answers pondered, questions asked. Which is the greatest? Who is my neighbor? How should we pray? Who does God favor? Stories with truth, uncommon, uncouth. Forgive and let go, not a tooth for a tooth. Blessed are the meek, turn the other cheek. Find when you seek, forget not the weak. Yeast and trees, seeds and wheat. Pearls and coins, hands and feet. Law fulfilled, love complete. Yes, through it all, the light would still shine. When storm clouds gather, blacker than black, 30 pieces of silver, a stab in the back. Betrayed, denied, condemned to die, a crowd's lie, a mother's cry, a son's why. Then one last breath and the father sighs. The light grows dim and begins to subside. On a lonely hill, scoffers jeer. Darkness dances and evil cheers. The earth grows quiet. Hope disappears. Will the light shine again, or is this the end? Then out of the vastness of eternal dark grows the faintest of hopes, the tiniest spark. And midst the silence, a voice can be heard. In the beginning was God, and God was the Word. In Him was life, and that life was the light. And to all who received it, it gave them the right to be children of the day, not the night. Darkness trembles at the sound of that phrase. First one day, then 2 days, then finally 3 days. Life begins to grow, evil begins to know. A stone begins to roll, and light begins to explode in a resurrection glow. Angels descend, every knee bends. A savior appears, the followers hear. Wounds of life, not dread. Why seek the living among the dead? At just the right moment, in the fullness of time, into a world of darkness came a light that still shines.
Yeah, I think that did kind of fit there, didn't it? Jesus made it clear, and this is where I'm closing. I'll show these scriptures. Jesus made it clear why he came. And it's also clear why what our responsibility is as well. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. And the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. And he unrolled the scroll. This is amazing, by the way. They could have handed him anything. They just happened to hand him this part of Isaiah that has 60-some-odd chapters. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. And then he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. Those people had heard that a million times. And all eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently, and then he began to speak to them. And he said, "The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day." So, that is what Christmas is all about. He didn't come to make us rich or important in people's eyes. He came to offer us an answer to life, real freedom in a world of bondage and darkness. And his light will lead us to the same manger that the wise men attempted to get to, but ended up going to the home. I've heard it said many times that we need to be a reflection of Jesus. I say no. We need to be the light of Jesus that resides in us, who is the Holy Spirit, to shine not only out of our hearts and our minds, but through our feet of clay, of bad. Ladies and gentlemen, like it or not, we are all this world has to dispel darkness. We're it. That's not slamming every other religion. We're it. We're it. And he did all what he did for us so that we could just simply shine. Do you know it takes no effort to shine? It really takes no effort to shine. It takes effort if you're constantly feeling like you've got to fix the wick and make sure it doesn't get blown out. Stop it, man. Plug into the source. When you're plugged into the source, you're just automatic. In my office, I don't have candles. I have a light switch. If it doesn't work, I might check a breaker or make sure we paid the bill. I could run with that, but I won't. Take a deep breath. Realize this is Christmas season. But realize that on your way to the mall and the light changes, or the guy in front of you won't go fast enough where you can run it too, that it's okay. Let's let our light, and that almost sounds silly, you know, this little light of mine, I'm going to hide it under a bush, oh no. The only reason we ever hide it under a bush is because we think that we are the light. You're not the light. He is. I'm not. I am so set free by that. I'm not the light. He is. But I do feel, I don't know if the word responsibility is the right word. I do feel the urge, the understanding, or maybe that's it. I've just gained the understanding that we're all the world's got. So what does that mean? That means your light of Jesus has to shine into those dark areas that you think need to go to hell. Hear me, man. If you hate the homosexual community, that's where your light needs to shine. Hear me. If you hate your boss, shine there. I'm keeping that hidden. You get what I'm saying? This is kind of like the book I wrote. We all are little Linuses, isn't it? No, Pigpen. Remember Pigpen from Charlie Brown? You know, everywhere he's got that little dust thingy happening. And, you know, he probably smells the high heaven. But listen to me, man. We all have those little Holy Spirit dust things. And we have different realms of influence. And your realm of influence is different than my realm of influence. Part of my realm of influence is I'm running in when you're running out. Do you get what I'm hearing, me? We all have those. Whether it's, You know, it's so funny. It used to kind of drive me crazy when Gay does this, but it's just like it's normal now, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, if we're in a grocery store, it doesn't matter. If there's 15 people in line, it doesn't matter. Gay will just stop and go, "Are you okay today?" And I'm going, I turn around to these people, I'm like, "Welcome to my life." No, really, in everywhere, listen, as simple and silly as it sounds, stop thinking you've got to be something you can never be. Grab that in your brain. Stop trying to be something you can never be. You can never be perfect. You can't. You can't. But you can always proclaim His perfection, because He is perfect. "Oh, man, that, you know, I saw," this is when I was young, when I was a young buck, man, I used to carry a big Bible just because, I don't know, I had one. And when I first came back to know Christ, and boy, I got attacked when I first came back to know Christ by church people. But, you know, my other friends, my drug friends were like, "Oh, come on, we'll see how long this lasts." And then it, basically the same thought with my Christian friends, but it was, "Yeah, we'll see how long this lasts, man." Okay, well, be mad at me because I came back to understand Jesus. Sorry, didn't mean to step in your space. You get it? You can rest in the fact that you're not the light, but He is. Amen. He is. You might have just cussed Him out 5 minutes ago, and you go, "Man, saying I'm sorry is not a bad thing." "Man, I'm sorry." "Well, yeah, you cussed me yesterday." I did. I love this Jesus who's perfect, and He perfectly loves me, though I'm not perfect. I apologize, and I mean it. I don't think I'll say that again, ever. But I'm not going to hold the gun to my head. I'm going to hold Jesus to my heart. That's all we have, man. And listen to me. That will absolutely set you free of having to be something you... It's not having to be something you're not. People call, "You're just a hypocrite." Yes, of course I am. We all are. Hypocrisy is simply acting like we're something that we're not. That can, the hypocrisy, and that's where the world gets it, that we're hypocritical because we say we know Jesus and we don't. Oh, no, I know Jesus and I love Him and I do, but I'm still human. But the hypocrisy of other people is whatever. We put this face on it. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, that's the biggest hypocrisy in the world. That's who we want others to think we are. Woohoo, having a great life. No, you're not. You're falling apart just like me. You're falling apart just like me. But I'm coming to the grips of the fact that Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible really does tell me so. Little ones, to Him belong. They are weak, but He's the strong.
Amen.
Right? All right, Mrs. Van Zandt, you're welcome to come join me, and I'll let you wear my prayer shawl if you'd like. I love this thing.
My mom wore a prayer shawl when she prayed, and I went to the church to get it because she had prayer all the time with people at the church, and kept a little book and a little log of their prayers and when they were answered and, you know, all that. And someone had taken the prayer shawl in her little testimony book. And I was upset at first, and then I thought, no, somebody needed that more than I did. And the truth is, somebody needs you more than what you think you need. Somebody needs you more than what you think you need. My pain ignites the light of Christ. My lack of understanding, when I cry out to Him, lights Jesus to the world, because I'm not trying to do it myself. I'm calling out to Him. Every time you think you're failing and you're crying out to Him, you're showing somebody else the way. And you may feel like your light is so small, but in darkness you penetrate. And their hearts are being changed. And God is bringing the lost home because we're vulnerable enough to say, I hurt, but I trust. And I want to let you know today, the windows of heaven are open right now. There's something amazing that's happening right now. I don't know if it's Christmas carols are being played and it's just amplifying the glory of God, but I'm seeing some amazing things happen right now and answers to prayer. God is bringing the lost home. And God is answering prayers right now. And I'd like for you to stand with me. Yes, that song, Light of the World, you stepped out into darkness. He's still stepping into my darkness today. And he opens our eyes so that we can see. We're so afraid of the darkness, we won't even call out for help. Are you with me to call out for help today? Lord, we need your help, God. We need your help in this world, God. We want, Lord, I don't have to be the light, but I need you to shine through me, God, so that others can see the truth of who you are. Lord, today, whatever the short circuit, whatever the wind that blew out the flame, whatever it is right now, Holy Spirit, you reside in us according to your word in Philippians 2:13. God is in me and I can do his will. Lord, you are in us to show us the way. We don't have to grope against the dark wall to find it. Ignite the light in me today, Lord. Can you pray that prayer? Just ignite the light in me today, God. Ignite that light in me today, God, where I will love like you love. Where I will believe, Lord, I will call upon your name, Lord, and not call in vain someone else's. But I'm going to trust you, God, right now. If you are comfortable to do this, would you just lift your hands with me right now? Just soak that in. We are surrendering to the Lord in this house today. We're giving up, we're letting go, and we're surrendering. God, while the windows are open, pour out right now on your people, God, what we need. Not what we say we need, Lord, but what you know we need, God. I can trust you when I can't trust myself. Holy Spirit, raise up, turn the light on. That I'll find my way, and that others, God, who are following that I don't even know about, will have a light to run to, and that light is you. We lift you up, God, over Christian Center Fort Worth. We lift you up, God, over the food and clothing ministry. We lift you up over every person's testimony as they leave this building. We lift you up over every home that's represented, over this city, God. Haltom City will be regenerated, Lord. We thank you that our state and our nation, God, that this world and those who are lifting their hands with us right now, all over this world, God, calling on your name. Light the light. Shine. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Bring the lost home, Lord. We give you thanks for that today, Father, in Jesus' name. And they all said, Amen. The light is in you. You may feel lost. But somebody following you may get the light from you and walk ahead and give you the light back. Trust God. Amen. Amen. Those who are going to volunteer for Christmas, if you'll go through these doors, past the chandelier to the right, turn through the kitchen, you're going to go in the green room for a brief meeting on Christmas. Leslie, we're going to give you time to get there. All right.